Welcome back to Sunday Morning Bible Study as we're continuing our look at generosity guided by Act of Grace, this book by James C. Petty. Today, we're focusing on this idea of remembering the poor, and particularly in the Gentile church. So you may remember Jesus himself was a Jew, and he spent much of his ministry in Jewish territory around Jewish people. And so it makes sense that his early followers were primarily Jewish. In fact, most, if not all of those in those early chapters of Acts are Jews who shared this common worldview of caring for the poor, which they picked up from the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament. And they were loaded with this idea of how to care for the poor. But Paul comes along, and Paul has a different mission handed to him from God. He is a prophet to the Gentiles. He is a disciple, an apostle, sent out to the Gentiles to help them know and understand the gospel. And you might recall, recorded for us in Acts, this conversation that happens among the apostles about this task that's been handed to Paul. And Peter, as the leader, gets to have this conversation with Paul and send him out. And part of that conversation, Paul records for the believers in Galatia. And this is what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. They recognize that I, that's Paul, have been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, that would be the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, that would be the Jews. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. So as they send Paul out on this new cutting-edge mission to reach the Gentiles, they encourage him to remember the poor, or continue remembering the poor. Now, this isn't to suggest that that's the only thing Paul should do. Of course, he should preach the gospel. Of course, he should teach them the way of Jesus. He should do all those other things that you might expect. But much like a basketball coach who calls a timeout and encourages his or her players to be sure to pass the ball, doesn't mean don't dribble, doesn't mean don't shoot. It's just highlighting an important thing we need to do in order to be successful. For Paul to be successful in his ministry among the Gentiles, these fellow apostles believed he needed to continue remembering the poor, to teach them to remember the poor. And why is it that we're to continue to remember? This remembrance language is huge throughout God's story. You can see it over and again in the Old Testament. You can see it at our table where we break the bread and remember what Jesus has done. Remembering is important, and it's easy to forget the poor. They're sometimes far away and tucked off where we might not see them every day. Continue to remember. And this idea of continuing comes from the Greek verb tense, that it's not a one-time thing. It's something we keep doing on and on and on. It's great to pour out grace when there's some sort of disaster, but this should be a continual action. We should continue to remember the poor. Now, why, of all things that Peter could have said to Paul before he began this new venture, of all things, why this? Well, perhaps it's because this sort of mercy, this sort of unmerited grace that one would remember the poor, give of their financial resources to the poor, would be entirely outside of the cultural norm for those to whom Paul is being sent. The culture of the Gentiles in Paul's day was not one to care for the needy. In fact, they saw that those who were poor had earned their lot in life, and that those who were rich had likewise earned their lot in life. This idea of being generous, of being philanthropic, would have been entirely foreign to their worldview. And so Paul is sent out with this charge, remember, continue to remember the poor. And perhaps we see this most clearly in Paul's letters to the Corinthians. You might remember in his first letter to the Corinthians, he encourages them to give to those fellow believers in a faraway place that they've never met, who are facing difficult circumstances, a famine. And these Corinthians who live in this port city that's wealthy and well-to-do, that they should take some of their excess and ship it off in light of God's grace and of their own wealth to care for those in need. But then Paul comes back in his second letter to the Corinthians, and he's going to take a second stab at it, because he believes that their first famine offering, even as it encouraged generosity in other places, especially among the Macedonians, that this was not in keeping with God's grace. It was not in keeping with the Corinthians' wealth. That instead, they should have given more. They were capable and called upon to give more. And so he circles back around to them in the second letter to the Corinthians and encourages them to begin storing up for this second round of the offering, because he's coming back around. He's going to pass the offering plates again, and if they've stored up, they'll be ready to give an offering in keeping with God's grace and their wealth. And in this letter of 2 Corinthians, especially chapters 8 and 9, we see where Paul is laying out for them this idea of what generosity, what continuing to remember the poor might look like for these Gentile believers. And in his book, Act of Grace, James Petty lays out for us 8 principles that we might pick up as we're reading through these 2 chapters. So his first principle is this: give yourself first. Let's read together from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectation. They gave of themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. They gave themselves first. And we are called to do the same. This is Petty's first principle. Give yourself first. Give all that you are and all that you have over to God. And the second principle is this: that part of the reason we do this is because we recognize covenantal ownership. Covenants are throughout the Bible. When one party makes a covenant with another party and they share in this mutual understanding, they give themselves over. And we are in a covenantal relationship with God. But this covenant, this new covenant, is even more than the old covenants, because God in Jesus has fully offered Himself for us, has bought us with a price. We are God's. And so to recognize this covenantal ownership is to recognize that we ourselves are not our own, but we are God's. And all that we have is held in common as God's. Which brings us quickly to the third principle, that we should believe in the communion of the saints. This idea that John Calvin says that all that we have is a divine deposit entrusted to us for the very purpose of being distributed for the good of our neighbor. That just as we are in a covenant relationship with God, that all we have ultimately belongs to God because God has bought us. So in this covenant, we are in a relationship, a communion of saints with fellow believers, so that all that we are and all that we have, we owe to them as well. So, we should give ourselves first, recognize this covenantal ownership that God has of us, and believe in the communion of saints. And fourth, Paul reminds the Corinthians and reminds us that we should respond with grace to all that we've been given. Hear from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Point blank, Paul reminds us of the gospel, that Jesus gave to us freely when we didn't deserve it, and that in response to the gospel, we should give freely to others. That we should respond to God's grace by having grace for others. That financial generosity is the sure byproduct of believing the gospel. Paul also reminds the Corinthians that though this is a grace of God, like all graces, it can be cultivated. If God has given you a gift for teaching or preaching or of hospitality, you can cultivate God's grace in your life. You don't make it grow, but you make yourself ready to more fully live into the grace God has given you. And Paul makes it clear that this is true about generosity as well. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." We should seek to excel in giving. This is the fifth principle. Excel in giving. Cultivate in your life the grace of giving to others. Make it a practice and a habit and intentionality so that the grace of God is stirred up as you are generous to others. Then we get to our sixth principle. Avoid too much and too little. Look with me at verses 13 through 15 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "Our desire," Paul says, "is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, 'The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little.'" This quote that Paul says about the one who gathered much and little comes from this beautiful story of God's provision for God's people in the wilderness. Every day, 6 days a week, the manna would come down from heaven and God's people would go out and gather. And no matter how much they gathered, whether they got overflowing baskets or they got tiny amounts, it was enough. But those who hoarded their manna found that it rotted in their faces. And so, looking back to this time in God's redemptive history, Paul looks to our time and says, in the same way, God has made it so that there is enough for all to be equal. And it just so happens that perhaps in this season, Corinthians, Mountain Brook Baptist family, God has handed you more than you need. But be careful to avoid too much or too little. If you have an abundance, share with those who have too little so that their needs might be met. This comes from a place of the seventh principle, which is that we should trust God to provide for all our giving. You see, for American Christians, this is a difficult spot to be put in, to not have too much, because we are living in a wealthy place, in a wealthy time. Of all the Christians in history, perhaps we are most in danger of having too much we resonate perhaps more with the Corinthians than with those who are in need. But if we will trust God to supply what we need for all of our giving, then it will be easy to be generous with those who are poor. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Paul says this, "Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Paul leans on this ancient proverb that those who sow generously will reap generously. And it's important to know that this proverb isn't really in relation to quantity. You see, you could sow a lot of seeds, but do it from a place of abundance. It's a reminder of the widow with her two mites that really this is a question of the quality of your sowing. Are you sowing generously? You can sow a lot and not be sowing generously, and you can sow a little and be sowing generously. And so the call that Paul makes to the Corinthians is to be bold enough to trust God to provide for all your giving. Miroslav Volf says, "If you give what you are given to give, more will be given to you." If you give what you're given to give, more will be given to you. Now let us be clear, Paul is not a health and wealth and prosperity preacher. This is no health and wealth gospel. The idea is not that we're manipulating God, that if we give, then God will pour down blessings from heaven upon us, so we'll be rich beyond our wildest dreams. God isn't running a pay-to-play scheme. And also, poverty is not a result of a lack of faith. You see, that's the danger of these TV prosperity preachers on both sides. This idea that if you send $1,000 of seed money, that next month God will let you pay your rent, suggests that if you're poor, it's your fault because you don't have enough faith. But let us be reminded of the miracle of the book of Acts. Remember, they shared everything in common, so there was no need among them. And the miracle wasn't that the poor folks figured out in some seminar or learned from some TV preacher about buying a special token that would give them wealth. No, the miracle in the book of Acts was that the saints gave generously. God gives us what we need in order to meet everything God calls us to do. If God has called us to continue remembering the poor, then God will give us what we need to be able to do just that. It reminds me of the story of a cheeky pastor who, upon launching a new big building campaign, stood up and proudly told the congregation, "We have all the money. God has gifted us all the money we need for this whole building project. Now, the harder news is this. It's still in your pockets." God always gives us what we need to do what God has called us to do. And this brings us to our eighth and final principle. Give proportionately. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:12. Paul says there, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." The Old Testament was clear. God's expectation for God's people was 10% of all their income. A tithe was to be taken into the storehouses. Whether it was a good season or a bad season, a tithe is what was expected. And in some ways, we might love that black and white clarity. But the gospel has broken in. And the gospel has shown us a way of generosity that is so much more than 10%. It's been said that a tithe should be training wheels, that it should be the minimum expectation. But I know if you're not in the habit of giving a tenth of all that you have unto God's work, that it's a hard, hard bar to reach, much less to exceed. But Paul's reminder for the Corinthians is that because we have been given so much grace, that we should trust God enough that we would pour all that we have, give generously, remembering the poor, caring for them in their need. So these are eight principles that we can find in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as Paul is doing this fundraising. Perhaps I'd sum them up this way. Give to the Lord your whole self, including your wealth. Give yourself to one another as fellow believers. Give as a response to the gospel. Seek to excel in your giving. Believe that God adequately funds everything God calls us to do. And give proportionately to the grace you have received and to the wealth that you have. Not seeing 10% as some bar to meet, but instead recognizing the fullness of God's grace in your life and continuing to remember the poor. My brothers and sisters, we, most of us, are Gentile believers. And when this gift of the gospel was first sent out to the Gentiles, the special word from Peter was just continue to remember the poor. Let's do all the other things the gospel calls us to do, but not lose sight of that one important emphasis that is ours. God bless you. Go love God and live with grace and generosity.